Oh, baby. Cold nights begin with warm hearts, closed minds. Closed minds will open her mouth too wide. Two eyes looking can't see his fears, her fears. Good intentions fall on deaf ears.
I'm so happy to be sitting here with Joel Cross and Colin Hauser. We just had an amazing day. We're shooting some stuff for New Age Gents. So this is amazing, guys. Welcome to the New Age Gents podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And it's been great, you know, knowing the both of you with your music careers and where you guys are going, and to have you both sit down with me and do this interview. It's amazing. I was telling my girlfriend in the car how happy I am to have friends like you guys. And this ain't got nothing to do with the music. Nothing to do with the interview, but I was saying how happy I am to have guys like you in my life that we can do stuff like that. Like even watching y'all fool around on the bikes, you kick the box and you over here got your legs. Legs just, you know.
Yeah. So I was a little fat. I didn't know what was in that.
Give yourself a little stretch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm really happy to have both of you guys here. So one of my first questions I want to dive into is, and this is for the both of you. How did you get started as a musician? So I'll start with Colin first. Yeah. How did you get started?
Oh, I feel like it's been like a part of my identity since I was a kid. My brother and I found a guitar under the stairs when I was like 8. And it was my dad's guitar. And it was this 12-string giant guitar that we just started messing around on. And we would bring it to my dad and say, teach us chords. And, you know, so we were learning guitar real young. And then I started playing saxophone when I was 12. And band, and I decided to go to college for it. And then, you know, when I graduated from UNT, Joel and I went to school together. So when I graduated from UNT, I started singing a lot more and started writing a lot of songs. And that's how Joel and I really actually started connecting quite a bit as songwriters. And so music's always been a part of my life. But the singing and songwriting is definitely been the evolution. Like if I've arrived at being a singer-songwriter, I think I get the most mileage out of my expression a songwriter.
It's crazy because you found that guitar at 8?
Yeah.
Who just finds a guitar just hanging out?
My dad was in a band and when he was in high school, and actually my brother was just like, oh, Colin, let's go get in trouble. And so, you know, we pulled out some, you know, instruments from underneath the stage.
Mr. Cross, Mr. Big Band Cross on campus, how's it going, baby?
Oh, it's going great, baby. Oh, it's beautiful. Same question for me,
I guess. Yeah, man, how'd you get started?
Well, I guess in my family, man, music and church was the way of life. You know, my dad's a preacher and also music director and wrote a lot of gospel tunes. So me and my 7 brothers and sisters grew up playing and singing in church, you know. From the time I could speak, we were all singing together as like a choir, you know, essentially. And then when I was 12 years old, I mean, the guitar was the first time I actually paid attention to a guitar. I was in the back of the church probably playing tic-tac-toe or something with my brother. And my dad pulls out the guitar and starts playing a few clean chords as he's tuning it up and trying to figure it out. And I just immediately perked up, man. Like something
was
different about this moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, it went from having zero interest in the instrument to knowing, like 2 seconds later, that I wanted to do that, play that for the rest of my life, you know? And so got home from service at night. My dad showed me how to play a few chords and I learned them and I've been playing ever since, you know?
Where do you fall in the order? Like it's 8 of you guys.
There's 8 of us. I am the 7th child.
Oh, so you're the baby.
I'm the baby brother, yeah.
If you haven't seen Joel, he's a big man. I was telling Laura, I said, standing next to Joel, he's a big fella. For him to be the baby, like
I'm the youngest brother. Yeah. And also the tallest.
Oh, so you're the tallest.
Yeah, I'm the biggest in the
Because typically in families like that, the runt typically falls somewhere towards the end. Joe, the smaller one. He's not. He like
I'm not the runt.
No. You're not going to treat me like a baby.
He's the youngest.
You're not going to treat me like a baby.
I'm not the runt.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just actually, you know, I just got them listening to both of their albums, and they're absolutely incredible. And they kind of inspired the interview, which is music with a message. And I feel like the both of them, they both have amazing content and substance in their music, and it's incredible. So for the both of you, we'll start with Joel this time. You know, who are some musicians that influenced you early on in life? And then the second part of this question is, who influences you nowadays? Like, who? What recent artists? So I guess you can either answer it first with who now and then go back, or go back and then come forward.
Well, I guess I'll try to start in order as much as I can. I think when I was younger, it's real interesting because we grew up only listening to gospel music. My dad was really strict and stern about that.
Yeah.
However, when he was away, like my mom was a school teacher, so she'd be home with us in the middle of summer. And my mom loved old school soul and Motown, that type of stuff. So we'd be listening to that. And so I used to love listening to all the old, you know, Jackson 5, Temptations, all the Motown crew people on that label. And then I got into classical music, actually, pretty hardcore in high school. I was singing classical music in the choir, and I started teaching myself some classical guitar on my own. So I was into, like, Andre Segovia and Christopher Parkening, who was one of the current, like, big classical guitar players on the scene. And I would, like, just shed those by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into Paul Jackson Jr. He's one of the most recorded studio guitar players of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's on Thriller. He's on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, once I got to college, I got into jazz. And then as far as guitar goes, it was like Wes Montgomery, George Benson, Joe Pass, Grant Green, but also a lot of horn players. I really got into like Joshua Redman, you know, Kenny Garrett. And of course, I mean, the classics like Miles Davis and Train. But as I progressed into songwriting, I think the thing that I really connected with, like that the songs that I loved across all genres and songwriting that I loved, whether it was a classic tune or not, all had one thread in common, and it was like, you're talking about music that matters. It was like the essence of our humanity. It was that vulnerability.
Yeah.
People are we're all afraid to show, and then it's like once you actually show it, it's that deep breath of relief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, absolutely.
That sigh of relief, like, yeah, I finally got that out. I don't have to hide and pretend like I'm this totally quote unquote perfect person, a human being who doesn't have suffering in their life, or, you know, the whole gamut and range of our emotions, you know.
Right.
And that's what inspired me, you know, these days, is anytime I can hear a song that's like real on that level.
Absolutely. You know? Any artist in particular? Justin Bieber, maybe?
Yeah, my boy Jay Biebs.
Love Yourself.
T-Swift.
They all got nicknames.
No, to be honest, you know, when I got down to it, there's a lot of soul music, and it was artists like Jill Scott.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Like
Jill. Jill,
her name,
I feel like a lot of stuff that Jill wrote, it was probably...
You need to see your face at that moment. Oh, yeah.
But no, like a lot of songs I'd hear from Jill, I felt like she had like some real, very real moments in her diary or journal. And then all of a sudden one day it was just like, that whole page, hey, let's make that a song.
Right. Cool. Right.
Whoa, she went there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. And you feel connected to her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So artists who write songs like that always inspire me because you can feel it. You know what I mean? Like there's a feeling that comes across, whether the performance was great or not. There's that real essence of our humanity that gets captured in the song that you can feel. And then that's what I love about writing songs. And that's why I'm always writing songs. I'm trying to capture that feeling in the way it comes out of me.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Same thing for you, Mr. Hauser. Back in the day, somebody from back in the day that might have influenced you. That might be still relevant in your life now, but you know, they're from a time that's a little bit different than ours now and the artists we have.
Yeah, no, it's a very common question, but it's still very interesting, and it's always hard for me to answer just because I think music plays so many roles, and I as a musician take on so many roles as a saxophone player, as a singer, as a guitarist, as a songwriter, you know. So it's interesting. Music to me, I think it's all, most genres of music are all influential. It's hard for me to not like something. You know, music is right. Just I grew up listening. My brother loved, you know, just metal. Like he loved Metallica and Megadeth and Pantera and Cold Chamber. I mean, I was listening to that kind of stuff and admiring, you know, just technique and guitar, that kind of stuff. But then, you know, when I was 12, I was listening to jazz. So I went from metal to, you know, Charlie Parker and, you know, Dizzy and Cannonball Adderley. And those are the saxophone players. But being a saxophone player, those are my influences. But I was also playing guitar on my own, and I was listening. I would think that most people who come across my music would say, "Oh, I hear John Mayer," and most people do. That's one of the first people that they kind of allude to, or that, you know, they can pick out. Mm-hmm. It's the you know, the acoustic right hand kind of textures and stuff like that. So like as far as what influenced me, it's so hard to answer that. I can tell you jazz absolutely influenced me as probably the most. Mm-hmm. As a musician. Mm-hmm. And a songwriter. I mean, probably the most. I always call jazz like the Rosetta Stone. Like it translates, you know, it translates mm-hmm. everything. Yeah. I feel like I could explain any genre with a jazz vocabulary. But as far as now goes, I really love vocalists, and that's just kind of where I am in my evolution as a musician. So I listen to, I'm listening to Alan Stone and Emily King and James Bay and, mm-hmm. You know, just and Tori Kelly. And so I love pop music, and I also love, you know, indie music and just a whole bunch of, you know, different kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the people you name, though, what's crazy is they've been doing music for years. Like some of you guys have been doing music since you were like 8 and mm-hmm. 10 and 11. And then at 35 or something, not mm-hmm. that you guys are 35, at 35, they finally get their first hit on the radio. And right. I'm like, mm-hmm. what's that journey like for some of those people that are trying to put out music with content, and then they run into, and then they listen to the radio and they're like, there's so much music on the radio with no substance, no content, no meaning, no message, but yet it's still getting airplay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's such a crazy journey to keep pushing through right. for 30 plus years. And then they're like, oh, where'd this guy come from? And you're like, where'd I come from?
What's the saying? It takes a long time to be an overnight success. I don't know. You know, you've heard that saying before.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. Yeah. All of us are sitting here, you know, figuring out, I don't know. It's an interesting, I mean, I know that Joel and I, we're so close, mm-hmm. and I think we just have influenced each other quite a bit in our own music as well.
And you guys support each other.
Yeah.
That's amazing to see you guys support each other, and you're not like competing against him or like,
oh, my music's not a competition.
No. And absolutely.
I don't know. There's one thing I love about music, especially when I was in the jazz world, like was exploring the possibilities of like, we would sit there mm-hmm. for hours. You got a simple, basic 2-4, 2-5-1 progression. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, how many things can I play with this?
Yeah.
How many rhythms, how many substitutions, how many different ideas? And then at a certain point, you're just like, man, I should probably eat, because an infinite of possibilities right, that I can play over this, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what you're seeing unveil. Yeah, there's 12 notes, right? Mm-hmm. But how Colin's going to use them and how I'm going to use them, there's infinite possibilities. And he has his own things that just come out of him through his influences and all these people he grew up listening to and his response and his own, you know, adding on to those ideas in a way that makes sense to him. And so it's just like, it's a beautiful thing. But like, as far as your question goes, like, well, you know, you see people 35 years old finally having their first hit, mm-hmm. you know, that's also the beauty of it. I think it's more about getting to a place where, you know, like if you want to look at the numbers strictly as musicians, right, less than 1% of all the people aspiring to be musicians will reach a level where their stuff's going to be played on the radio.
That's a fact. I didn't even know that.
Country to see, right? That's a given. Oh, so wow. Going into this, you have to ask yourself, and it's something I ask myself at all of my different stages, but especially like in college and post-college, is like, well, am I really into this, right? Mm-hmm. At the point where I'm having all this heavy course load on me of all these things that are new and challenging at the time, mm-hmm. like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
I think I might want to quit. Do I want to do this?
Right.
You know, and I always go back to that moment when I knew, like, guitar, like, when I, it was something that I wanted to do mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. It's
you
love
the
it. Reason I do it is because I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm playing for one person, zero people, or thousands of people, mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I love it.
Right.
Right. It puts right. a smile on my face. You know, like what was Jim Carrey quote I heard recently? Him speaking at some college graduation.
That speech is beautiful.
That speech
beautiful,
is
right?
amazing.
You guys heard it, right? Yeah. I just posted that last week, and he said. He was talking about his dad who wanted to be a comedian but didn't and ended up working in the accounting mm-hmm. and ended up failing and losing that job and then kind of struggling for a while,
yep.
right? And then he says, you know, you could fail at something you don't want to do.
That's
it. You might as well do something.
You might as well do something you love.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? And that's the point. I feel like everybody in this world should do something that they love, mm-hmm. something that they're passionate about, something that they're connected to, find their path that resonates with their heart.
Right.
And so, like, I think when people reach a certain stage, there's no set formula, especially with like music, right? You hear mm-hmm. about people getting a connection in the elevator and, you know, being late to a gig and meeting this one person who was their connection to skyrocket fame or, you
right.
know.
And their life changes.
Justin Bieber was on YouTube, you
yeah.
know, like.
Yeah.
Right. Like even the little bit of success that I've had with like my viral videos, like fairly random,
mm-hmm.
you know, like and. And that's just the way life plays it out sometimes, right?
Right?
We seek
right.
other opportunities. And so I don't have an answer for you for that one other than the reason that I play is because it matters to me and it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the, you know, we're getting older too. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we're not 22 anymore and we're not, and, but you saw, I think the older, I think it comes with any, it comes with age, experience, any art form, anything you're doing, really, you start realizing that, we start asking yourself the question, like, why am I doing this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you have to, I mean, think about musicians in ancient cultures. They were the doctors. They literally were, I mean, they were the healers and they talked to the spirit world and they would translate that rhythm. What do you think? I mean, what do we do when we're not being told what to do? We do something rhythmic. We go play cards. We dance. We listen to music. We play music.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we play basketball. We play sports. I mean, we're yeah. always doing something rhythmic. We're always doing it. I mean, that's the human way. And so you start realizing, you know, with that question, like, why am I doing this? It is. It's so meaningful to actually, what I'm really getting at is being a musician and being an artist is incredibly self-centered. I mean, and it's the hardest thing to do mm-hmm. is to have integrity as an artist,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, because the point is to heal and the point is the music.
Right.
And it's made nowadays so much about us and success and fame. And by the time, mm-hmm. you know, to get that right. first hit when you're 35 or before you're 35 or 30, whatever it is, you know, whatever
right.
you're aiming at. I mean, and you get real swallowed up by all those,
mm-hmm.
that idea of success. But, you know, you start realizing it's a privilege and
yeah,
it doesn't,
indeed.
You know, it doesn't even matter
indeed.
What genre it is. It's just as long as it's good music, it's good songs,
mm-hmm. right.
good songs, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I think people start noticing when you start doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Cause to honestly, you, that was like an amazing segue into my next question, which is for Joel, which is
okay.
how do you want, like, what do you want people to feel when they mm. listen to your music? What's the intention when you're making a song, you're picking that chord? What do you want your audience to feel or someone that listens to your music?
It's a good question. The best way I can describe that is something I've been thinking a lot about over the years. And I guess it goes into a broader spectrum of maybe my life philosophy and worldview. But like, I feel like I'll start before I answer that question with thinking about our world and our existence kind of in a different way, in
mm-hmm.
the sense of, you know, we were just talking about why am I playing music?
Mm-hmm.
my question really to most people, like if you think about most people in their professions and what they spend over 40 hours a week and the energy that they're bringing into their homes, into their personal lives, mm-hmm. with that tension, I mean, like what majority of, let's just start with America, Americans are doing something that they love.
Right.
For 40 hours a week.
Right.
Right. And using that as their income. Right. And so you think about spending that much time doing something you don't love, you're not connected to. It's just a means to an end so you can live in a certain place, pay all your bills, provide for your family. And that's great in that sense of the word.
Right? Right.
We all need that.
Right.
But in the global sense of the spectrum, I'm thinking about, well, that energy then becomes transferred. Right. That like, oh, I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I really don't like this. You become bitter on a certain level, you become kind of dark on a certain level, and that's what you feed the world. So the reason I play music, the thing that I want people to feel is something that I felt very often when I see somebody, quote unquote, in their element,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just in their element, in their medium, whether it be like visual arts or music or dance or whatever else it could be, but also just connected to it in that moment, right?
Because
right. we can go in and out of that place as a performer.
Right. right? Sometimes so you're connected.
When those two are on point, right? You're doing right. the thing you love in the way you love, and you know in that moment, right?
Right.
And the audience is so moved by that performance that everybody is just like vibrating. People are moved to tears. People are super excited. And you leave that performance with a greater respect for the arts, a real great respect for that particular performer.
Right.
And then you go home and you say, how do I do that for myself?
How do I reach that place for myself?
What is that
for me?
That feeling is what I want people to feel. I want people to remember that they can do what they love. I want people to remember that if you bring that to the table, we all the more will remember and hopefully get back to a place where we begin to love each other a whole lot more on this earth and
yes.
not spread the negative energy of doing things that have nothing to do with why we're here.
I want to just say amen,
mm-hmm.
preach.
Hallelujah.
You had everybody in here just like.
Yeah.
that's what I want people to feel.
Huh? What?
I don't know if I'm always successful, but that's my desire.
But then, you know, then he goes to like, what is your definition of success? And if that's your definition, then you're successful. It doesn't have to be what the world defines it as, because you can have all the money in the world and be a terrible father.
Oh, yeah.
You
man.
Know, you can, so it's not money. It's not possessions. It's literally like whatever you define it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some stuff to think about, because I haven't thought about it from, you know, your standpoint, which is like, how do people leave after experiencing you in your element? And then what's that make them feel about their life? And are they living in their truth, in their element, in their life? Like, am I being the best father I can be? Am I making my kids feel loved every time I walk into the room?
Right.
Because you know how some dads have that vibration, I guess you would say, of when they walk into the room,
mm-hmm.
there's fear. Yeah. There's
right. Sure.
Are the dishes put away?
Mm-hmm.
Are my clothes done? Are my clothes put away? There's an energy with this presence. So now that has become his element. That is mm-hmm. what he's living in. He may not thrive in that element, but now that's what it's become.
Right.
And that's what he's connected with. And that's what the children are connected with. And so with a musician, I think it's the same thing. Is I used to feel this way too, because I used to listen to a lot of like hardcore hip hop, whatever, but it would make me angry, like kind of dark.
Sure.
And then now you want to fight, but you're like, why do I want to fight? Because that vibe, that energy they're giving off to their music is like, it feels angry. It feels like frustration. And then it connects to the frustrations and anger in you. And then you go do something to release that. But I love what you're saying, which is if I put light into that person, and they're going to find some way to release the light inside of them into the world.
Right.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. just,
So going to Colin now, you know, how important is it for you personally that your music, like every time you put out a track, every time you pluck a chord or you find a melody, for your music to have a message when people hear it?
Man, it is an interesting question. I think, I love what you have to say. Joel, absolutely. It's in a live performance, it's absolutely what, and that's why we go to shows. We go so that we can suspend, you know, kind of our lives for a while. You go with your, you know, your girl, you go with your parents, you know, you go with the people that, you know, that mean the most to you. And you experience this suspended 2 hours of, I don't have to think about my life, you know?
Right.
And I absolutely can relate to that. When you see a great show, it's the moment of inspiration. It touches you, and no matter what you are, no matter what your job, in quotes, you know, you have an artist in you that you have to solve problems. You have been confronted with the creative process, you know. And so no matter who you are, if you go to a show, like, you know, as if it's going to be music, you want to go home and you want to do the best you possibly can at what you're doing. That's the inspiration. For me, having meaning when I write, I don't know. It's, you know, I remember this, like, feeling early on saying, like, I want to be found in the CD player of a kid who just is going on his first road trip. You know, four kids, you just 18 years
old. That's an amazing visual.
I want to be in that car at 1 a.m. when he just broke up with the first girl he ever loved. Mm-hmm. And you know, because I've had those. We all have had that. Right, and that's right. It's just that
you want to help him out. You want to help him through it, like the friend that's there.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Through your music. That's right. Amazing.
And so, I mean, I just remember feeling like, I just remember being 16, and mm-hmm. I remember being 18. I remember going on my first road trip. I remember going to my first concert. I remember, and I don't know. Again, I don't know how well. Yeah, I don't know how good I'm doing about it, but I know this. I know that it's a bit of truth that if when it becomes about the music and less about me, that's when we move into a place of inspiration. Is that when somebody can come witness good, honest, genuine art.
Yeah.
That's what touches you. And when it's about you and the identity and when it's about me and how well I do and how good I am or how whatever, then it's not, you know, those shows and performances don't necessarily yield that kind of inspiration. So, you know, if when I'm at a show and I'm about to go on stage, the best I can do is say, you know, say in whatever version of a prayer that is for me, I have to say, you know, this is about the music and right. I want to surrender to the music and I get to do my job. I get to tell, you know, the audience what I hear and then they get to listen mm-hmm. and then it becomes about the music. Mm-hmm. And I do my job. They do their job. And we all get to experience something that can move us to inspiration. So that's where I'm at. As far as, you know, bringing meaning to some, man, I love me and you, Joel and I did a track called Me and You. You might hear at the beginning of this, and that's just a fun song.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need exactly. that to change anybody's life. That's just a fun song.
Actually, it does. No, but that's the crazy thing. When I'm driving in my car and I say, I want a song that makes me feel good, or mm-hmm. it's like, it fits right. the sun shining outside.
Right, right, right.
Me and You pops into.
Well, that's awesome.
And
I would never know, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But sometimes, I guess what you're saying, what you're getting at is that sometimes the message isn't about trying to have a message. It's just, this is how we're feeling. It feels good. Right. But in that, it's going to be a message to someone,
right.
whoever listens mm-hmm. to
right.
it. Because right. like I said, for me, that song is a very, put you in a good mood. Like, you want to go outside. You want to go see your friends. You mm-hmm. want to go hug somebody because the song just, it has a light feel to it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting what you're saying, though, because mm-hmm. what happens is that when you become aware of what you're doing, when you're natural at something, mm-hmm. you know, when you become aware at some form of awkwardness starts that, you know, when you become aware of the way you're walking, you start walking.
Exactly.
When you become aware of your breathing, it's this mm-hmm. funny little thing where, you know, breathing can be voluntary and involuntary. It's a real, you know, paradoxical thing. And so in the same way, if Joel and I, if we're going to try to write a good song with meaning,
right.
it becomes awkward.
It
and
does.
So we can't, I think we have to do, hopefully as artists, is surrender. It just comes when it comes. And, you know, if I had a quota, you know what I mean?
It's the difference between, I think what you're getting at is like, just living and being honest with yourself or trying to like force something, you know, if you're trying to force something, if I like with New Age, just if I try to force a post out, it might do okay.
Mm-hmm.
But is it going to actually make someone go home and think about, am I doing this? You know, am I doing this the best way I can as a person?
Mm-hmm.
Am I staying aware of my surroundings and the people around me? Am I being kind to others?
Right.
Am I aware of the person that's crossing the street, maybe hit with their grocery bags or whatever. But if I if I'm start to like, you know, force my quotes to be a certain way, which I feel like a lot of the pages I follow, they're forcing something that they're not really naturally.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes mm-hmm. sense, because now it's not, now it's about the quote and not about who you are as a person or how you're trying to get people to live naturally.
Yeah.
And that's the end game is this is a part of you that should come naturally, but you have to practice at it, but don't force it into yourself, because if it's not a part of who you are, then it's just not a part of who
you are.
And it
goes into what you, I mean, the whole movement of New Age Jets, the whole point is it's, you know, building better men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting stance to say that there's something that we understand. It's called self-evidence.
Right.
Self-evidence. And we know what's right.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's good. You know what I mean? We know.
You can try it. You can try to act like you don't know what's right.
Exactly.
I robbed the bank. So, no, it was good. No, you know you right. robbed the bank.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I mean, yes. right. And we all have whether we are wired to have an impulse to bring it into action, whether it's, like you're saying, like whether it's somebody, you know, an elderly or a female opening the door, giving up your seat, mm-hmm. whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have the thought. And we have whether we're wired to input, you know, we have to,
right.
it's something just like music. We have to practice mm-hmm. every day
mm-hmm.
who we are.
Right.
We have to choose every day. Mm-hmm. We know. And so, you know, but, you know, are we doing it for praise?
Right.
Or are we
right.
doing it because we are know we it's the it? Right, because we want to have genuine lives. And the same thing, it's music. Mm-hmm. If what are we doing it for? Are we doing it so that we get, you know,
the praise
and, right. and the
oh,
glory.
He's amazing
and the
with guitar. He's amazing vocally. And you're
right.
like, you're
and,
missing it.
And you know what? It is impossible to escape ego. It is impossible mm-hmm. to not want somebody to love what you do. And there is nothing wrong with that. But it shouldn't be the main reason why we do it. Just the same thing as being a good person. Good,
right.
You know, of being a gentleman. You know?
Right.
Right.
Indeed. This is so funny. And because you guys are talking about this. Hopefully we can have the clean, censored version. Is there such thing as bad music to you guys?
Oh.
And this is for the both of you. So whoever wants to tackle this one first.
I just thought for like, go for it, Joe.
Oh, man. Is there such
I
thing
mean, I think
as
I
bad
can
music?
Hmm.
It's a good song. It's a little bit. It's kind of quiet.
It's kind of quiet in here. Okay.
It's kind of quiet.
So the obvious answer is yes. Right. I'm not going to sit here. The reason we're all so quiet is because we don't want to be negative. Right. I don't want to be negative and say, no, I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't like this. But that's the honest truth. We all have things we don't prefer.
Right.
That being said, I have found myself listening to and enjoying music that I previously put in the bad category.
Oh, yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
right?
that pop music. It's that sugar. It's that candy, man. It
yeah.
tastes
and
good.
So,
it feels good. Oh,
yeah.
So I think of it as this way. It's not necessarily good or bad, but it's music that resonates and doesn't resonate. What I mean by that is
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we see the world as we are, not
right.
as it actually is. Same thing with music. Music resonates with us on a certain level. You ever find yourself, man, why am I listening to all this really bluesy, sad, really dark songs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you just went through a breakup. Maybe you're going through something and
mm-hmm.
that's resonating with you right now. And that's healing because you don't feel alone. You know that this other artist, these other people have had that expression, that experience. But same thing when you're listening to really happy music, right? You
yeah.
go to the gym, you're like,
fuck you up,
right? You know, like you're getting up, you're getting ready. You're like trying to get your body moving. That's
yeah.
a good up song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so vice versa, on all the other layers of the spectrum, you know, you find throughout your life, you get exposed to more and more things. And also, to go along with good and bad, it's like a lot of the music that we really enjoy
mm-hmm.
is on board with the stuff that we grew up listening to.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Now it's not conditioning, but it's just you stick to what you know.
Right.
You
and,
know?
And there's no wrong thing about that. But
right.
there was a scientific study, I think I heard on NPR or something one time, where they were basically talking about the number of repetitions it takes for you to enjoy something that's really like if it's at the opposite end of your spectrum. And so it was like the majority of people, if you listen to something enough times, you actually will enjoy
like
it.
If you didn't grow up listening to heavy metal, mm-hmm. you're not going to, if you've listened to Motown your whole life,
right.
you're not all of a sudden going to now at 25, 26 be like, I like heavy metal.
Right.
You're probably going to find something along those lines, like a Leon Bridges or a mm-hmm. Joe Cross mm-hmm. or a Colin Hauser. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to find that music and say that, but you don't know, I think maybe because you're not, you don't even know you like it because it sounds like right. Motown, or it reminds you of Michael, or reminds you of Lionel Richie or something like that. So that's amazing. Colin, you can't escape the question. Same thing for you. You can't say, I agree with Joe. Not how this works. You have to actually give a legit.
Is there good and bad music? You know, man. I mean, there's people
who need to. Name them.
There's people who need to practice. So, you know, I hear what you're trying to do. And I fall into that category sometimes, too. So don't get me wrong, you know. But, you know, I just, man, it's hard because we're talking about art and technique and, you know, and we're kind of equating it to how this informs us of being gentlemen and good people and you know, living around. So, I mean, it's. Yeah, there's intentional music and there's unintentional. I mean, and then there's people who have plenty of heart and they don't have the technique to back it up, and you know, or yeah, you know what I mean. And that goes with everybody. I mean, you can't.
They don't
just
have the technique to back it up.
Right, and that's and so people just. I always say this. This drives me crazy when I say I'm not musically inclined. I'm not artistically inclined. It drives me crazy because that is something you've told yourself long enough your whole life. I can't tell you how many people tell me that. Oh, you're just so talented. I go, man, I'm just stubborn. I sit down until I get it. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's not this one. I mean, I can tell you right now, singing does not come naturally to me. Does not.
But just playing an instrument for you?
Because I did it young, yeah.
Yeah.
So saxophone and guitar, those two things are like, mainly the saxophone, but something that's like speaking. It's just, it's what, you know, because what happened when you were growing up, when you said something wrong, your parents, everybody, they laughed and they praised you and you were allowed to make mistakes and mess up and you continued to continue until you eventually learned the right thing. And so, you know, with music, growing up, I was playing saxophone and guitar and I was allowed to make mistakes and I didn't know, you know, but now I can tell you, I started singing for real when I was about 23, when I said, I want to be a singer, and it does not come naturally. So for me, that's something that I had to really, it's an interesting thing because the process of learning how to be, like you're asking about good and bad. So the process of learning technique is also the process of letting go. And I mean, it's the whole thing. So as far as I go, you know, I don't know, good and bad music. I mean, I think there's a type of music for every scenario. There's a type of music that needs to go in a commercial. There's a type of music for the 16-year-old who just broke up with his girlfriend. There's a type of music for that, you know, someone who's angry and they need to vibe on that for a minute so they can like just have some sense of release. And I think, you know, as far as, if it's art, it's art, and it, good and bad is almost irrelevant when it comes with an intention. But then there is absolutely there's refinement and there is inspiration, and people can move you to an amazing place when they decide to take that spark that we all have. We all have the need and the desire to create,
right?
And when somebody says, "I'm going to take that desire and I'm going to hone it and I'm going to study it and I'm going to build my technique and my skill so that I can express myself through my art, my craft, as though it is just speaking." And that is when we become inspired, is when we see people who have developed their longing to express themselves, when they've developed that technique into a place that, I mean, that's when we move into the awe state. You know? So it's not enough to just say, I want to be good. You know, and I want to make something.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I just good. It's that is the most wishy-washy.
No. Answer. But it's not though. it's not honestly, because as you're talking about it,
you're good.
I think about the artists that they are content with where they are, and so if they're content with where they are, their music will never go past that.
Right.
So it can become quote unquote bad music, if you just feel like this hasn't changed for 5 years, just because you think it works, you're not pushing yourself or challenging yourself as an artist. I mean, I think one of those people that I listen to and I can hear a change in their music is Adele.
Sure.
Like from each album that she releases, it's a different feeling, a different way of expressing it. It may still kind of have that same kind of like emotional, I guess, tone or message behind it. But for the most part, I think she challenges the way she, the type of music she makes, like whether it's the rhythm or the tempo. It's not just the same every time. You're not like, oh, that's an Adele song and you just know it. You know it because of her voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. I mean, for me, I mean, you guys are musicians, so you can hear whether she's using different vocal techniques or, you know, and she came back from that vocal cord thing or whatever the case may be. So sure. To come back from that, I mean, that's amazing. I don't know how you guys would come back from like the same thing. Like, anyway, long story short, what I'm getting at is that I think, like you're saying, if you don't put the time in, you put the effort in, you're not really giving your best. And that's where the music is now. Oh, that's really good quality music, because that person, you can tell they take the time to practice.
Mm-hmm.
They know their stuff. They write the music. They want to get to know the music. They become the music,
right,
as opposed to just like putting out this thing or putting out this image and not doing the work behind it.
Right.
And that ties into like being a gentleman. Don't put on the suit, talk the talk, and then you're not living it on the inside,
mm-hmm.
in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can open the door, but what's your intention behind that? Right. You know, and a friend of mine, Chris Wolf, put out a quote. He said, you're not truly being a gentleman if you're only doing it for the girl you like just to get her attention. Sure. It doesn't make you a gentleman. That just makes you a nice guy that's flirting with this girl.
Right.
Being a gentleman, it encompasses helping everyone and being kind to everyone, because holding the door open is not just holding the door open for a woman. It's holding it for anybody. If you were to walk up behind me, I'm going to hold the door for one of you. And I mean, I think that's the most common example people use, because it goes way beyond that, I think, with sure. How you handle if you were to get pulled over by a cop. How does a gentleman handle that as opposed to some average guy that's got his ego and pride in the way?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, respect that cop, respect his authority figure, you know, and if he's harassing you or something happens, then you handle that a little bit differently. And you say, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing at least.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and think I'm going to just all of a sudden, you know, oh, because of social media and cell phones and all that stuff, I'm going to put you on blast and put you on the internet. That's not going to get you where you want to be.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So anyway, and one of my last questions I kind of have for you guys is, how do you think your music, or how do you think music could influence, I guess, how men are acting in the world today, in society, and in communities? Because I think in a time where you were talking about like Motown and stuff like that, you had songs where men were all about love and all about this and that. So it kind of changed the way men treated their ladies, because they felt like they could relate to the artist at the time, whether it's Teddy Pendergrass or Marvin Gaye or, you know, somebody else. Or, you know,
it's interesting.
You know,
I heard, tell me this is right. Nina Simone said, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
But it's,
if you said the quote I'm thinking of, because I just said to Laura in the car, I said,
yeah, it's an artist
responsibility is to represent duty, the times or something,
right,
of that nature.
There it
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah. Okay, right. And that's Nina Simone, right?
Please
right.
Google right. it, because if we don't have it right, you just need to go Google Nina
yeah,
Simone.
Yeah, that's paraphrased
quote.
For sure.
But and I, yeah, idea. It's definitely, but I love that, but I also am a little frustrated with that. I actually am.
This
because, you know, I can tell you right now, I'm sorry, whether you like The Weeknd or not, like, the lyrics of some of that stuff is just, I mean, I can't get on board with it. I'm not even going to repeat it. It's just not, you know what I mean? All that, I can't get on board with, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if that's our time is to, you know, I'm trying to center myself in my mind as I speak here. I don't know, to reflect ourselves, you know, to reflect the times. I don't know. I love that, because that's it's cool. It's a different take on being an artist. It's live in the present moment, be here, reflect the times. It's really, but I really, really enjoy, this conversation that we're having about something that's kind of more, eternal, something that is like a self-evident truth. Like, what is good music? timeless music. Right. And it doesn't necessarily reflect the times. I don't necessarily think it does. And so, you know, I don't know. Forgive me for interrupting. I mean, it got me thinking about that quote, and it got me that question to, you know, just wondering. Anyway, I don't know. I was just wondering about that. I don't know. What do you think, Joel?
Oh, well, I mean, as far as that quote goes, I appreciate it coming from Nina after seeing the documentary, you know, What Happened to Miss Simone, and getting a lot more insight about her than I had previously, and seeing like her journey, you know, as an African-American woman trying to make her way in the world, and experiencing certain things to the point where she felt it her personal responsibility to do something about it.
Right.
With her music.
That was her.
Which is her thing, right?
Right.
And I mean, you get the whole gamut, right? Because your question was, how do you write music that impacts men in this era?
Right, right.
In a positive way.
Right.
And, you know, I guess, I think,
not to cut you off, but like, let's just say if there's a club song out right now. Okay. And it's talking about treating women a certain way, doing a certain thing at the club. What are men now doing when they go out? They're doing what that song is saying.
Yep.
There's songs about sex everywhere and how they're going to, you know, side chicks, all these different things. And then men think that that's what a lifestyle. And that's why I choose what I put into my mind, into my soul.
Yeah.
And I think that's what music is.
I think that's what makes you. I think that's what is like the a trait, a characteristic of a man versus a boy, mm-hmm. right? Because when I was a boy, I did what my dad told me, mm-hmm. right? Dad's there, son, clean up your room, son, need this, son, need that. Make sure you do your homework done, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're my dad. You're my authoritative figure, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to be honorable and respecting to you and your authority. And trust that you have my best interest in mind, even though I may not agree with everything you're asking me to do.
Right.
Right. As a man, my dad will ask me to do certain things and I will tell them if I'm able to and willing to. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I know as a man now, mm-hmm. I get to make those decisions for myself. Mm-hmm. The same way those men, quote unquote, are boys, whatever category you want to put them in the club, or we're treating themselves and others disrespectfully, mm-hmm. are doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the real question to me is like leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Leaders versus followers, right?
Right.
Because music has a whole range. And what Colin, I feel like what he started getting at with the whole Nina Simone quote of like reflecting the times, music is a form of expression and expresses the full gamut of life, from the very lighthearted to the very deep and heavy and philosophical,
right?
And like, you know, political and civil rights movement that it could impact. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so there's no way for me to stop any of the pop artists from making silly songs about slapping a girl on the butt or whatever you want to call it, right? That's putting it mildly, right?
Very mildly, yes.
So like,
yes.
Okay, that's going to exist. And frankly, that will always exist.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If my agenda is to, you know, promote chivalry in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. And being a gentleman, being a man,
romance,
being a leader
in life,
right? Then, I mean, for me, like I love that. That's one of the things I loved about Motown and those songs. They were very romantic,
right? Mm-hmm. And not just in the sense of like man and woman, but romantic in an idea of something. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And in that era, that there was something about that era that they respected and appreciated that a lot more than I think we do today.
Today.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so like in my own personal music, when I write, mm-hmm. I mean, I have some songs that are very much so inspired by that era of music.
Right.
Right. But even in my writing style, when it comes to romantic things, mm-hmm. I still try to keep a bit of that, because that is my way of inspiring that, at least from that romantic side of a man. But also, I guess with the way I write, mm-hmm. like I want to have a certain amount of integrity. I feel like a lot of us have a tendency to put up our mask, right? And that's functional in our mm-hmm. society in certain, you know, interactions you have with people, right?
Right.
I don't need to go, you know, real deep about who I am with the person who's making my lunch at Subway. You know what I mean? Right. Right? It's like, oh, hey, cool. You having a great day? Yeah. No, I don't need to make them my therapist.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, when I do have a moment to express to those who I love and care about and have a deeper relationship with, I want to be genuine with it. Right. Yeah. So in my writing, like there's some very real songs that I write that are a part of me that are about some breakups and some emotional times. And actually we're talking about fathers. Like I have a song that's coming out on this record that was a really heavy one for me to write, mm-hmm. about my dad, mm-hmm. And our relationship. He's been one of my biggest heroes throughout our life. But we've had our moments, you know.
Yeah.
And this song is part of my healing. Mm. And so I think it's real important if you're ever gonna go anywhere. If you're ever going to grow, if you're ever going to solve a problem, you have to know what it is.
Oh, wow.
Right? And if you have, mm-hmm. all of these masks and things
in front of you
yeah. and you're trying to tell people that that's you, well, that's problem number one. Get rid of the mask. Right?
You know, it's funny. The word persona, mm-hmm. is actually the word persona means mask, actor's mask. Mm. Persona is actor's mask. So to be a person is to be a mask. It's who we are. That's, mm-hmm. I always found that very interesting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. It's kind of this paradoxical truth that lies in that, mm-hmm.
I know. Terms. It is. It's very
true. In that definition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So my last question before we get out of here, and it's been amazing having the both of you here, is, and I'll let you catch your breath for a little bit, bro, because you was, man. So, Colin, what would you say your definition of a gentleman is?
My definition of a gentleman.
Like, if you could just, you can even get songwriter on us for a second.
I'm gonna have to think about that.
Because it's not, what's beautiful about this is that it's, we have now the power to create the idea behind it and not just keep pulling from old, mm-hmm. and saying, and then thinking we need to put ourselves in that model. You don't have to dress like a guy or act like a guy from the 1940s and the 1950s. Mm-hmm. What is it and how is it relevant to our life now? Technology has changed so much, especially with dating. Right. There wasn't online dating. It was letters back then.
Right.
They barely had phones, you know? So dating was different. So dating now is going to change how a man interacts with a woman. The way we interact in public, especially with cell phones, smartphones, you can go into public now and you're at lunch. And I you know, the one of the funny things I see on the internet now is coffee shop will say, we don't have Wi-Fi, act like it's the 90s and talk to each other. It's very rare. Every people want to do business in your coffee shop. So you're going to have Wi-Fi in your coffee shop. So that may not always apply. But what would you say, like, you know, right now, that what would you say the definition of a gentleman is that is relevant to today's time and could be eternal and timeless?
Being a gentleman, it's tough because I think the deeper I go into my art, the deeper I get into my spirituality, the more I realize that, that gender is a secondary thing, that, you know, that who I am as a man, excuse me, who I am as a person, who I am does not have to do with being a musician, does not have to be with, it has something to do with being a man, being my age. Mm-hmm. Who I am,
it's not these titles,
is love and awareness.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm working all the way back to the very middle of me, the very middle, the very center.
That has no sex, no age, no color.
Right. Not that those things aren't important, but that's where you experience, you want to call it God, you want to call it a universal mind or a conscious. I mean, that's where you experience your inspiration that we've been talking about earlier.
Right.
That's where you experience.
It comes from that love.
That self-evidence. Right. Right. That we're talking about, that knowing, you know, and so to be a gentleman, I guess initially implies, you know, being a good man, mm-hmm. you know, and then you work your way backwards. Being a good man is being a good person, and then being a good person means, is being. And mm-hmm. so I would say the exact same rules apply for being. I mean, if we're going to take the antithesis and say, you know,
what's your definition of a lady? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, you know, it's to me, I check back in every day. I check back in every single day with who am I? Mm-hmm. Who am I really? Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with my success. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with how much money I have, mm-hmm. whether I'm a man, whether I'm a woman, whether I'm no matter what. It has nothing to do with any of those things. Mm-hmm. It has to do with me being love. Mm-hmm. And so
in operating in that as you go through your day.
So yeah, I happen to be a man. Mm-hmm. Those are all, I mean, in music we call them accidentals, you know, whether it's a sharp or a flat. Those are accidents of who we happen to be. Philosophically, we call them accidents. You know, that's what they are. You know, right. And so I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I my fear is that I've answered most of your questions in the most wishy-washy way I could possibly answer them. But I feel like where I am in my life as a musician, where I am in my life as a gentleman or a man is working back to the middle of me and saying, who am I? And for a while, it's de-emphasizing the accidents.
Right. Instead of putting all the emphasis on that, because then you get into pride and the ego and
then, you know, and it's not my style to, you know, mm-hmm. prescribe, you know, a one size fits all method for everyone, because right. everybody is different.
And that's why I think your viewpoint is so crucial, because what if there's a guy out there that's like, thinks the same way as you. So that's why I think the way you answer your questions are perfect, because someone's going to, I'm serious. Someone's going to hear what you're saying. And then without you having to explain it or say it's wishy-washy, it makes sense to us. So it's going to make sense to somebody else.
Sure.
So I love that. And really, I think at the end of the day, that's my goal with New Age Gents, is to teach them. It starts on the very, very base core of being love, and then working your way, like your male outer physique is like one of the last layers that matters. Right. Like it comes with love and then action and kindness, and then you work your way, and you happen to be a man. And then when you get into the physical physique of the build of a man, then you say your job and responsibility is to protect because of your frame and how you were built scientifically and what God gave you, different things like that. I watched this amazing video, kind of a sidetrack. And it's not even that, it wasn't that amazing, but I think about this all the time about, you know, why were men built bigger than women or whatever. And I honestly think that we were protectors. Mm-hmm. Not every man is built to protect, but I think naturally we are protectors or hunters or gatherers right. or whatever the case may be, because our frame can hold more muscle or whatever the case may be. And there's this guy on this train, and he was bothering the other people on the train. And this guy, this man, they call him Thor because he looks like Thor, but he put the guy into a chokehold. He didn't punch the guy. He put the guy in the – because the guy was really attacking people. He was drunk, and he was attacking people and right. antagonizing, and people were feeling scared. And right. do you know how much safer they probably felt that this guy put the guy to sleep? Right. He didn't hurt the man. He put the guy to sleep right. and then put his foot on his chest till the cops came.
Right.
I felt like that is something that we were given as one of the last
right.
things that matters, is his physique was able to handle that.
Well, see, and then what you're talking about, you know, it gets to a point where if you do work backwards and you get to the center of who you are, if you mm-hmm. ask yourself that question, and it's such an ambiguous question, it's so hard to answer. We try, but right. you get to a point where you know, I enjoy a lot of gender roles, you know, and we live in a New Age society where we're trying to homogenize quite a bit of things, and I really enjoy that my fiance is how tall she is and her physique, right. and I enjoy it because it makes me feel like a man. I can pick her up and I can give her a hug and twirl yep. around. You know, I mean, I feel like a man, mm-hmm. and I love making her feel like a lady. It makes and that's good, and because, you know, we invest who we are not in how much muscle we got,
right?
How much money or success right. or whatever. It's because you get back to the center, you get back to the point, you get back to the truth. And so then all these secondary accidents, they don't have as much meaning. They don't have as much bearing. It's not,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And they don't define or control
Thank
who you
it.
Are.
Right.
Listen. There you go. There
nailed it.
So Joe, how you feeling, baby? I know you just like.
No, I love I love everything that Colin had to say. And obviously, Colin's like a brother from another mother. So I hear those things and I bounce back to hundreds of other conversations.
I know. How many conversations have we had
right. about exactly this?
And I love it.
In so many different forms. And so they're relaying so many other things. But just to be concise, the only thing that I could think of as you were saying your initial question, right? Mm-hmm. And Colin's response. Mm-hmm. And boiling down to, well, how do I be a gentleman? How do I be a lady? How do I be a human being bringing growth and positivity to the world? The only thing that came to mind was definition of a gentleman, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Is one who listens in love and chooses to create light. Like, that's what I think all of us would like to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's all I have to say about it, really. I feel like the biggest problem in the world is that we simply don't listen. We're a lot of our suffering comes from our lack of understanding of the current situation.
Right.
And if you listen, you can eliminate a lot of suffering.
One who listens with love or in love.
In love. Is that what absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
One who listens with love.
I was bouncing back and right. forth with those two words uh-huh. in my head.
But, you know, but yeah. then, you know, it, then it goes right. back to what you're saying about if you become love, you will naturally and, just listen exactly. in love.
Yeah.
And that what you hear.
One who listens as love. Yeah. I mean, you can replace
with
it with
love, in yeah. love. From a loving place, whatever
we could
way
go
you
forever
want to say
about just one little sentence, this one phrase, we could right. go forever.
Man, we're gonna create the next Instagram post. Yes, right here.
Oh, all this is getting. These are all quotables. Yeah. In the words of Oprah, these are quotables for Super Soul Sunday.
Right, yeah,
we just had a Super Soul Tuesday, actually.
Hey.
But that's amazing, and so it's been so good having the both of them guys. Colin Houser and Joel Cross, they're on iTunes right now. Please go pick up their albums. Just type in their names. You'll be able to find any info in the description. And check out for them on Facebook when their next show is going to be, where they're performing next. And come get some of that love. Come get some of that genuine music that's probably going to touch you, and you're going to go home and you're going to think about, you know, your life and think about, are you loving the best you can? Or I've been through a breakup like that. Or something, because I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to know that they're not alone. And I think the beautiful thing about music is it lets people know that they are not alone, that someone shares a message like you, that you don't have to take your life, that you don't have to do this, that you don't have to settle for that relationship. These musicians are used as vehicles and tools for a greater message of love to bring the people to say you are loved, that you are worthy, that you're not unwanted. That, I think, is ultimately what musicians bring. So I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me today at the photo shoot and the interview. Joel helping figure out my, you know, the program and the EQ and all that stuff, the beauty of having musicians. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the New Asians podcast. Have a great week.